Me in terms of the book of Galatians,
chapter 3. Good to see you this morning. Sure glad you made it, because I like preaching to people instead of empty seats. Glad you're here. Look at Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you today for the opportunity we have to gather around your word. We thank you for the freedom that we have. We pray for our soldiers. We pray, Lord, for our commanders. We pray for our leaders. Give them wisdom and help us, Lord, and protect this country. Protect our freedoms and help us to continue to be able to preach the gospel. I pray, dear Lord, you'd bless the word today as it's taught in all the Sunday school classes. And at each place, Lord, that you would touch people by your Spirit. Give me a freedom and ease to speak and teach that only you can give. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking back at the last verse of chapter 2, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The reason why this book was written was to correct error. In fact, most of the books you have in the New Testament, written by Peter or Paul or James or whoever, is to correct errors. Errors that get up in the church. And you get a number of people, you get a number of different ideas. Have you noticed how many different occupations, how many different entertainments there are? There are people who spend all their lives studying ants. And they're happy to spend their life studying ants. Now, I don't want to study ants all my life. Now, I look at them, step on them, poison them, do lots of things like that to ants because I see them around. I'm familiar with ants, but I don't study them. I read here just recently about a guy that had about a 15-foot boa constrictor, killed him, got around his neck and choked him to death. It was his pet. Now, I have never thought of a snake as a pet. I had a kid bring one of those boa constrictors to my class in school, and everybody got to touch it. He wanted me to touch it. I didn't like touching it. I don't like snakes. But you realize how many different ideas there are out there? And when it comes down to politics, and you think about all those senators and congressmen up there in the state of Texas, in the city of San Antonio, or in the government up there, and then all around the world, I don't know how they ever get anything done. You realize that a democracy is a very poor form of government. It's very expensive. It costs a great deal more. And it takes a lot longer time to get anything done. Now, a kingdom or a dictatorship, very efficient. One guy says, you're going to build a road, the road gets built. But do I love democracy? I love it. I am thankful that I'm in a democracy. I'm thankful I was born here and raised here and have this opportunity. But you realize how many different ideas there are out there? Now just look at a church even this size. How many ideas you think are in this room right here? how many interpretations there are. And all of you that don't agree with me are wrong. You understand? It's an amazing thing. Now, the reason why he wrote this, there was a problem in Galatia. And the problem was, some came from James down to Galatia, took the converts, and began to teach them that now you've got to go back under the Jewish law. You've got to keep these feasts. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to so on and so forth. There are people like that today. There are people all around. You can't just be saved by faith alone. Goodness, no. That's not fair. That's not right. I really think that some people I've known are going to go to hell because they think God's not fair by saving people by Jesus Christ. It insults them. I've lived a good life. I've walked this way. I've been faithful to my wife. I raised my kids right. I paid my bills. And you're telling me that bum on death row can go to heaven? And God would reject me? Ah, my friend. What is the basis of your salvation? He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is giving you salvation when you don't deserve it. The grace of God is saying, I have a way to save you. And it doesn't depend upon you. All it depends upon is the love of God. The grace of God. I don't frustrate the grace of God, Paul says. And he's saying it here, for if righteousness come by the law. I don't know how many people there are out there today, this morning, preaching you keep the law for righteousness. You've got to be very, very careful about this. I believe that you ought to live a separated life. I believe that a Christian ought to walk a different kind of walk than the rest of the world. Amen. I believe the people in the world ought to be able to see the difference in us. They ought to be able to see a difference in the way we dress, how much skin we show, the way we talk, where we go, our kinds of entertainments, the way we spend our money. We ought to be different in every way. And yet, my friend, I want you to understand, that does not save you. Never has saved anybody. The idea from about, there's probably 100 verses in the Bible on baptism, and about 5 or 6 of them are a problem in the sense that it looks like you have to be baptized to be saved. But the truth of the matter is, you can be baptized and not be saved. You can get baptized frontwards, backwards, upside down. You can be dipped 3 times, once in the name of the Father, once in the name of the Son, once in the name of the Holy Ghost. It won't save your soul, and it won't wash away a single sin. Neither will keeping the law. And what he's saying to the Galatians, you're frustrating the grace of God. And I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. No reason for him to die. If you can possibly get to heaven by keeping the law, no reason for Christ to come. And Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, Father, if this cup can pass from me, if there's another way, if there's anything else that can be done, but there wasn't. And so because we have Christ as our sacrifice, we can't trust the law. Now, you got to be careful about it. But Christ did not die in vain. You see, Christ is the only way. And salvation comes by faith. And I don't know how to emphasize it more. Or I don't think I can emphasize it too much. God blesses faith. Study your Bible. Study your Bible. God's going to bless faith. You believe God. You trust God. Knowledge. I've known a lot of fellows with a mind and a brain. Had good knowledge. But they couldn't trust God on certain situations. Well, God's going to bless simple faith. Here's an old thief on the cross. Got nothing going for him except he believed. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Beautiful. It's faith that saves people's souls. believing God, trusting God. Now, beyond believing God for salvation, faith blesses your life. I mean, I consider the greatest blessings of my life the result of faith. I believe God. I don't know. I look back on it and I think about it. I don't know where I got the confidence in the Bible. I'm not sure if it was listening to Lester Olof or Oliver Green or J. Harold Smith or some of these guys on the radio late at night, where there was some other teacher or preacher that spoke sometime, but somewhere back down there, very soon after I was saved, I began to believe the Bible was the Word of God. What a blessing that's been to my life. I believe God's got the answer for everything. Now, especially salvation. You need to be real careful on salvation. Salvation is by faith and faith alone, not by the works of the law, not by keeping anything that you can possibly do, not by religion, not by religious exercises. And you say, well, you're very religious. Yeah, some people would call me that. I actually just believe in a book and a man. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God if righteousness come by the law. Christ is dead in vain. So, Paul's making it very clear, and you go back to verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. We believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. So, he's got this problem in Galatia. Here are these people. He says in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. Paul had gone into Galatia and preached the gospel to these people, and they'd received it with great joy. Wow, what a tremendous thing. They had a revival. Boy, I mean, people are getting saved right and left, and a church is formed, and people are going out and preaching, and then some people come down and give them a little bit different doctrine. Mess them up. Now then, these guys are preaching, yeah, you got to do this, but you got to be this. You know, well, if you don't get baptized, I've had people in this church say, if you weren't baptized calling on the blood of Jesus, you weren't saved. How many of you, when you went under that water, were calling on the blood of Jesus? I didn't call on any blood. I might have called to Jesus Christ. I had a fellow one time, he caught me in gyms over here. Went to gyms after services with some of the young men, and this guy, he caught me right out there, and he wants to have a big discussion over the blood of Jesus or saying the blood of Jesus. Some sort of crazy thing. I said, what are you doing out here in front of the whole lost world causing a controversy? People are nuts. I know. I've dealt with them for a long time. You may be nuts. I'm not too sure. Some people think I'm nuts. Well, that's one thing I don't think's right. I don't think I'm nuts. Oh, foolish Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians. Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. You saw the crucified Christ. You, not with their physical eyes, but in their faith, in their vision, they saw Christ crucified for them. When He died upon that cross, that was for your salvation. That was for your forgiveness. That was for your acceptance. That was for your blessing. Now then, I hear this thing of you. You're teaching people they've got to keep the law. They've got to be circumcised. They've got to do all these things. And there are people out there doing that today. Believe me. I'm a do preacher. I preach do, 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 do all the time. Yes, you should do some things. I've had some people get mad at me about that. You're always preaching for us to do something. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. I'm just reading it out of the book. I'm a believer in the book. And I just read the book. And the book says pray. That's doing something, isn't it? It says give. Oh, you don't like a preacher preaching on giving. Every time I come, he preaches on giving. That's a lie. Just most of the time you come, I preach on giving. You know what you do with your money shows a whole lot about what you do with your soul. Yeah, it's the truth. But you see, the doing, you giving your money, does not get you to heaven. Does not forgive one sin. Doesn't cut you any slack to where you can go out and do things and God won't touch you. Oh, no, no, no. Yes, you need to do. You need to be. You need to be an example and you need to do the works that need to be done. But they don't have anything to do with your being saved or your having your sins forgiven. So he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You should not obey the truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you." They had the gospel clear. They knew about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. They received Christ that way. And then, because of teachers coming in, they begin to be confused. And they begin to think, okay, yes, that looks right. That's what we got to do. And so they got confusion in the church. Now, one of the problems in a whole lot of churches today, they don't even know which Bible they believe. Now, that's a problem. I know many of them think, oh, we're scholarly. We are knowledgeable. We are more understanding. That's what Mike Pemberton thought about me when he first heard me. Eddie says, I want you to hear an evangelist. Of course, Eddie told him a great evangelist. Didn't tell him it was his father. But I was preaching on the King James, and Mike said, well, I thought if I get this old hick to understand what I know, why, he'll just really be enlightened. So he came to hear me. And we talked for a few hours, and his testimony is, I found out he knew a lot more than I know, and that I restored his faith in the Bible. You know something? Confusion does not help the church. And when you don't know what this book says, you have hurt the church. And when you cast doubt on what this book says, you have hurt believers. I get mad. I have a hard time listening to a lot of preachers. Well, the Greek says, the original says. You don't have an original. You've never seen one. You never had one in your hands. There isn't one in anybody's library. It ain't so. Excuse my ain't. It ain't so. Everything you got's a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. Amen. And you have to trust God somewhere down the line. But the Christian church today has come to the place, because of all of the teaching and the higher criticism and all the stuff that's filtered into it, that preachers don't know which one's right. I can remember reading 50 versions and deciding which one's telling the truth. And I count this side against this side right here before I would preach. Try reading the commentaries. Shouldn't all the great scholars agree? They don't. They don't agree. Oh, by the way, you got a real troublesome verse? Go look it up in your favorite commentary. He skipped it. It was a troublesome verse for him. Try it. I'm telling you, they're writing, boy, they write pages of flowery stuff. Oh, boy, this is beautiful, beautiful. Okay, now here's the verse I really want to know about. What do you think about this? He just bypasses it. I know what I'm talking about. There are a lot of different ideas out there. A lot of different people. You got to come to the place on what you're going to trust. Now, the Galatians got confused. And they got confused about salvation. And Paul is writing to correct that. To put things straight. He said, "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Now here's the first question. I'm real confused. What in the world bewitched you? What took your brain away? Where did you get this idea? How could you turn from the beauty of the crucifixion, the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, to your keeping the law to be saved. How could you turn from that? Now think with me a little bit. This only would I learn of you. How did you receive the Spirit? Think back with you. How did you receive the Spirit? Was it by doing the works of the law? No, people are doing the works of the law all the time and never receive the Spirit. You received it by faith. And that's his question. How did you receive the Spirit? Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? Well, the answer is no. By the hearing of faith? Yes. What happened to me? I heard something and it changed me. Boom! In a day. I did get a change. Now maybe you were saved when you were 5 or 7 or 9 or 10. And therefore when you got saved, it didn't make a great deal of difference because you weren't smoking and drinking and chasing skirts. So maybe you don't have a great testimony. You probably got a better testimony, the truth is, because you never got into a whole lot of mess. But what I'm saying is, you don't have a day when you quit smoking, drinking, cussing, gambling, and so on and so forth. Boom. And you're a different type of person, and you start trying to change and whatever the next day. And from after you, there's a point in your life that you see. And if you were saved very young in a Christian family, you may not have that. Sometimes we glory in testimonies like that. Well, this mafia guy got saved. Well, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing that a mafia guy gets saved. It's a wonderful thing the thief on the cross got saved. But you realize what a failure that life was? That's an absolute failure of a life. The only thing he did successfully was die. He died successfully because he died in Christ. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. All right, you know, the first point is here, the law never gave you the Spirit. How long was that law coming down the line? A thousand years. What happened? How'd you get the Spirit? Pentecost. Man, they heard, they believed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Galatians? They probably weren't there at Pentecost. There might have been a few. But when Paul comes in preaching and the others come in preaching with him, they hear the Word, they receive the Spirit of God, they're transformed and changed, and they're walking by faith. That's how they got it. Now then they teach them the law. What does the law do? It tells you God's righteousness. You know how good God's righteousness is? It's very good. Is the law bad? No, the law is very good. The law is a good thing. I wouldn't even know that certain things were sin if the law didn't say so. You wouldn't either. We couldn't come to any agreement inside this place here, what is sin, what isn't sin, if we didn't have something like the law. But can anybody keep the law for righteousness? Can you? Nobody I know. I've known some good people. I've known some good people for 20 years, and then all of a sudden, bang, they get shot down for one thing or another. No, you can't keep the law for that. So you didn't get the Spirit of God, you didn't get saved, you didn't get the joy from the law. What did the law do for you? The law brought you under conviction. The law told you you were a sinner. The law told you you couldn't please God. You read that law. Try it for just a little while. What'll it tell you? You don't live up. Now we sometimes judge other people. We look at other people in the church and we judge them this way and that way and so on and so forth because they don't live up to our standard. They don't have our convictions or whatever. And you got to be pretty careful about that. Because there's not any of us in here that lives good enough to point a finger at anybody else. What they used to tell me was, when you point that finger, you're pointing three back at yourself. There's a whole lot of truth to that. Yes, I can preach against sin. Yes, I can preach against certain things.
I think I ought to. And yet, I'm a guilty sinner preaching to guilty sinners. I'm not this righteous saint preaching to guilty sinners. No, I'm a guilty sinner preaching to other guilty sinners. I'm a dying man preaching to dying men. I'm a human preaching to humans. I'm a failure preaching to failures. This isn't a matter of this holy man and this saint. What makes us all holy is the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what we're talking about, not our keeping the law. And a lot of people get a lot of self-righteousness. Oh, I'm really praying for so-and-so over here. I'm praying every day for so-and-so over here that they'll repent. Well, just repent yourself. You got plenty to repent of. You think you're walking around just lily white and clean and you don't have anything to repent of? Wake up! Read the law. It'll do you some good. Read the law. See how good you come up with it. Let's take commandment number one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. When was the day? Huh? Did you ever do that for one day? All day long, one day? Not in your life. You came out of the womb crying for your way. You've been crying for your way ever since. Little old babies. Some of you haven't grown up yet. You're 40 years old, you're still crying for your own way. And older. Yeah, that's true. No, you did not receive the Spirit by the works of the law. You received conviction of sin. You understood the righteousness of God by the works of the law. You understood you needed help some other way by the works of the law. But you didn't receive the Spirit. You didn't receive salvation. You didn't receive forgiveness. And you didn't receive joy by the law. You received it by faith. Are ye so foolish? Now here's another question. He's asking several questions here. He first says, oh, foolish Galatians. He told them, you're foolish. He says, are you so foolish? How foolish are you? I mean, wasn't Paul a nice guy? Everybody loved Paul. Reminds you of who? Well, praise the Lord. Are you so foolish? Goodness gracious, I thought better of you than this. I don't know how many times I've taken my children and say, I don't believe this. I do not believe you think this way. I do not believe you can do this. Are you so dumb? How dumb are you? How far are you going to go in this stupidity? I've told a lot of church members that too. Are you so foolish? How foolish are you? That's what he's saying to these people here. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now think what you're doing. You started out in the Spirit of God, receiving salvation by the grace of God, through the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, through Him dying on the cross of Calvary for you. Now that's how you started. And now then, you're teaching, well, now you got to keep the law, you got to be circumcised, you got to be baptized, you got to be do this, you got to dress this way, you got to go this place, you got to celebrate these days and the months of the year and whatever. If you don't keep the feast, you're going to lose it all. That's how you keep your salvation. It's taught all over town. It is taught all over town. It's taught around the world. It's the biggest religion in the world. Every group out there, including many Christians, are teaching you get saved by faith and you keep yourself by keeping the law. You get saved by faith, you grow in your righteousness by keeping the law. You get saved by faith, you please God by keeping the law. You grow by faith, but if you don't get baptized, or if you don't keep the law, or if you don't take the Lord's Supper, or if you don't, you lose it. What's the difference in that in Buddhism? What's the difference in that in Mohammedanism? It's all a works-based salvation. There are really just two basic religions in the world. Works and faith. And very few people have faith. The great majority in their faith are all these works that they must do. How would you like to be one of these that believe in reincarnation? Next time I'm going to come back as a worm. After that I might be an ant or a mosquito. And after I've gone through a million lives, I might hit nirvana. Isn't that hopeful? That's hopeful. No, no. That doesn't give me much hope at all. Ah, but the Word of God, the Gospel. Christ died, going to make me like Him. When I die, I can stand over a casket and say, that body's going to come out of the ground one of these days. That body. That body's going to come out. And that body's not going to be old. It's going to be about 33 and a half years old. Going to be perfect. Be able to eat fish and pass through doors and travel 100 billion miles to heaven and back again in a day's time. Woo, you thought Star Wars was something. Ain't nothing compared to what you and I are going to have. No, it is not works. Not any kind of works. Not religious works. Not good works. They're good things. Works are good. You ought to have some. If you don't have some, get busy. You need to be doing some. But not for salvation. As a result of the change in you. And bless your heart, there better be a change. I don't count religion worth much or faith worth much if it doesn't change you. Sure, there ought to be some changes. But by the way, you can add all those things on. If you don't have real faith, it doesn't do you a bit of good anyway.
Right.
Are you so foolish? You foolish Galatians, are you so foolish? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That is the basis of most religion. You begin in the Spirit. You're made perfect by your living up to the law, by your doing the commandments, by you taking certain classes, by you moving up to a different thing, by you cutting certain things out of your life. You're made better. You are improving. Do you realize you could never improve on what the Spirit of God has done in your heart? Never. That's an impossibility. I'm amazed at atheists, agnostics. I'm amazed at evolutionists. Look at all the different faces in this room. We all have two eyes, two ears, one mouth, a nostril with two holes, one head. Aren't we different? The 6 billion people on the face of the earth, we're all different. Identical twins are different. And there have probably been 6 billion people that have died up to now. Out of those 12 billion, they're no two alike. Now that's fascinating to me. You seen all the animals God's made? You know, we haven't even discovered them all yet. I'm amazed they've cataloged as many as they have. Last year or so, I was reading a book by Thomas Jefferson on his Virginia and how he had surveyed it all out and all the different animals there. I didn't know all those animals he was listing. That's a pretty smart man, Thomas Jefferson. Very intelligent man. And he listed all these animals. I don't know what those animals were, but aren't there a bunch of them? How many different insects are there out there? How many of them have been extinct and we don't know anything about them? We don't even have their bones. We haven't figured out what they are yet. God does not love beauty. God loves variety. Variety. And boy, didn't He make a variety. Of everything. Of everything. Now, are you so foolish that you would begin with a work of God?
and you're going to improve the work of God. I mentioned here a while back about this guy that had one of these new Chrysler 300s. He modified it. Man, he had a big Lincoln hood put on it. And he had a different tail put on it and different stuff. And they done a good job. Somebody paid some money on some real good body men to do what they did. But he wanted to improve on what Chrysler had put out. Try that with God's stuff. You can't improve on what God does. Sure, you can take a piece of land with brush all over it and clear it out and make a garden out of it. And that is some improvement of it. But is it really better? I don't know that it's better. We like it better because we get to grow our tomatoes or our corn or whatever else that we have. The idea, are you so foolish that you're going to improve on what God created? Well, that's a pretty foolish thing to do. And so actually it is very simple. By faith you receive all that you can get. Everything. You got the very best. You got a salvation that's absolutely complete and perfect and that you cannot add to. That's a wonderful thing. Are you so foolish? Having begun the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now, think about that a minute. And think about what's being taught this day around the world and in this town, in many churches, so-called Christian churches, how you're made perfect by your flesh. You're made perfect by your works. You're made perfect by what you add to, by what you do. No, God made you perfect. He gave you an absolute perfect righteousness. A perfect acceptance before God Almighty, and He did it the minute you trusted Him by faith. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Now, if we were a church that did a whole lot of charity work, we would really be approved by the town. If we had a place out here for homeless people, if we had a food program, we're going around feeding a bunch of poor people. If we gathered up clothes and gave them out, or sold them real cheap, or we did some sort of work like that, the world would think we were great. But we're a preaching church. We will not send a missionary down to the mission field to pass out clothes. Or to put shoes on their feet. Now, I don't mind if a missionary does that, but if that's his purpose and going, we're not going to send him. We're a preaching church. We're an evangelistic church. We're someone looking for converts. We want to change people. They don't like us. The world does not like us. They don't like people who preach. They don't like people who proselytize. They don't like people who are going out to change other people's religions. What he's talking about here. Have you suffered so many things in vain? Do you know what these people did? They got saved. They took a stand on faith in Christ, faith alone, and they began to be persecuted by the Jews and by the Judaizers. What are you talking about? You're changing everything. You're picking it up the wrong way. The same thing happens right today. If you stand by faith alone, if you stand on the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, people are going to stand against you. You know, our missionaries down in Mexico have been stood against by pastors and church organizations because they're out on the streets making a fool of themselves, making a spectacle, insulting the religion of the country. And therefore, the government does not want to give them certain things, you know, like land and whatever. Actual preachers' organizations have come to the homes of our missionaries and tried to shut them up, Christians. Supposedly born-again Christians. Why? Because it cost them something. You know something they're going to do? It's going to cost you to stand up for Jesus Christ. It really is. And if you're going to be bold, it's going to cost you. They want to attack boldness. They want you to be nice and sweet.
They want you to have a real good manner and talk about the sweet little babies and the sweet little children and how we just love everybody. No, you know what? I do love the world. I love lost people. I want to see lost people saved. You know something? I don't love every religion. I don't love every teaching. I think there's a lot of things that are wrong, and I think if one thing's right, the other's got to be wrong. We can't all be right. Now, I will admit to this, we may all be wrong, but we're not all right because we're all different. I guarantee you. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? You take a stand. I remember when I started to build this church, I had preacher after preacher come by and told me I couldn't do it. Couldn't be done. We started to send missionaries out. I was told it couldn't be done. Tell you the truth, the way I looked at it, it couldn't be done either. I just simply said, that's the way God said to do it. Amen. I'm sure of that. I'm not sure I can do it. I'm not sure it'll get done, but I'm sure that's what God said to do it, how God said to do it. And you know what? We're still sending them out. 30 years later, we're still sending them out. I still don't know how it's done. By simple faith. God Almighty's done it. You will be opposed. You just might as well expect it. And especially if you are a gospel preacher, you will be opposed. If you're a good works promoter, oh, you'll be backed up and patted on the back and they love your religion. If you are a preacher of the gospel and say the Bible is the Word of God, Jesus Christ is the Savior, salvation is by faith alone, you make those three stands. The world will not love you. They will persecute you. They will badmouth you. They will make fun of you. And they'll hurt you if they can in some places. All right, look at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. He's still on the same topic. But he's asking them, all right, now, these guys among you that are doing these great things. You know, a lot of things happened around the apostles. They really did. And I praise God. God does some unusual things even today. I believe miracles are still happening. I believe God still answers prayer. I believe people get actually healed. I believe that just all of a sudden, boom. Does it happen to everybody? No. Does it happen to all Christians? No. Are there Christians with real faith who have afflicted children? Yes. Are there Christians with real faith who are suffering a disease that will not be healed? Yes. Are there times when God hears a prayer and heals miraculously today? Yes. I've seen it happen. But it doesn't happen all the time. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. It's another thought. Hey, these things that are happening among you, did they come by the law? No, they came by faith. Notice what it says, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. Now, Abraham did some good works. He did some bad ones too. Don't go bad-mouthing Abraham. Don't go bad-mouthing Paul. I believe Paul made some mistakes. I believe going to Jerusalem was a mistake. I believe the Holy Spirit witnessed to him several times, told him not to go. He said, I'm going anyway. I think some of Paul's problems he brought on himself. I think a lot of my problems I brought on myself. You too. A whole lot of things you're crying about today. Oh, poor me, poor me. You brought them on yourself. That's life. He said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Now, what he's going to tell us, and I won't get to it this morning, but we are the children of Abraham, if you're of faith. Are you the children of Abraham because you're a Jew? Yes, sure you are. Are you a children of Abraham if you're a Mohammedan? Yep, you are. Ishmael was Abraham's son. And all his descendants, they're fighting every man. What he said about Ishmael is so prophetic. His hand is against every man. And they fight each other. They hate each other as much as they hate us, almost. Children of Abraham. What kind of children? Children of faith. Abraham believed God, and God counted that righteousness. Not his works of the law. Abraham believed God. And what did God do? God counted that righteousness. Well, what did these Galatians do? They believed God. What did God do? Counted it righteousness. The old thief on the cross, he believed God. And what did God do? Counted it righteousness. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
It is absolutely beautiful. To me, I love the gospel. I love the gospel. I love preaching the gospel. I love preaching funerals. I love preaching weddings. I love preaching. Anytime you give me a chance to preach, I'm going to preach the gospel.
Right.
I'm going to get it in there. If it's a 5-minute thing, I'm going to give you 5 minutes of believing God. Getting saved that way. It's such a beautiful thing. It just surpasses every other religious idea I've ever heard in the world. Nothing I've ever heard, nothing I've ever read compares to it. Abraham believed God. Before the law was ever given, Abraham believed God and God counted it for righteousness. One day, just about 50 years ago, I believed God. And God counted it for righteousness. And my righteousness was perfect that day. Absolute perfection. You know another beautiful thing? Everything I do for God, He's going to remember. Even a cup of cold water given in the name of a disciple, He'll not forget. My Bible says He's got your tears in a bottle. Isn't that an amazing thing? He that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. Lending to God? Do you think God ever forgets a debt? No. Think God ever forgets? No, He'll never forget anything like that. You may think, well, am I going to get paid back in this life? Maybe. Maybe not. It might be better to get paid back in the life to come. I'm not sure. Sometimes I have to pray that way. Lord, I don't know whether I want this back right here or not. I might rather have it for the future. So what if I didn't get it back? So what if I don't see it? So what if I can't count it? What difference does that make? Why don't you trust God with it? Just have enough faith to do what God says and trust Him with it. Abraham simply believed God. Now here's a great man. He's great in the three great religions of the world. Christians, Jews, Muslims. Abraham, they all count Abraham as their father. What a beautiful thing. Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Not what Abraham did. What Abraham believed. Now, my friend, do you believe God? Have you believed in God? Then it gets counted for righteousness. That's a beautiful thing. That's absolutely... In fact, it's about the most beautiful thing I've ever come across. Nothing else that I've seen in this life, nothing else I've read about, and I've read an awful lot of books in my life. I've listened to a lot of people's crazy ideas that they thought were very smart. But to me, I said, man, sure doesn't match up to what I got. Believing God? That I can go around and preach to failures, sinners, people hopeless, and I can give them hope. Why don't you just believe this beautiful story? Why don't you take God at His word? Why don't you believe what He said about Jesus Christ? And you know what? He'll change your life. Changed mine. Changed a bunch of yours. It's a beautiful thing. Abraham believed God. And God counted it. It doesn't matter what you counted. You might not count Abraham a very good fellow. I was thinking the other day, I wouldn't think much of one of you if you took your 13-year-old boy and one of your wives and just kicked them out. And you're a very rich man. That don't sound too good, does it? I wouldn't think much of you if you put your wife off as your sister because you're a little afraid for your life. You're a big coward and you think, they're going to kill me for my wife. Well, she's my sister. I wouldn't think much of you for that. Just some other things like that, you know. He did that twice. But you know what God did? God said, that's a righteous man. Why? He believed my message. You believe His word. And bless your heart, you can't get anything better than that. There's nothing higher. You're not going to improve it. You're not going to produce something any better. Or you may get people to walk lockstep. You may get them to dress all a certain way. You may get them to obey you right down the line. There's nuts like that all around. But my friend, you'll never give them a better righteousness than what Jesus gives them. What God gives you when you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, foolish Galatians. Are you so foolish? Do you begin something in the Spirit of God and then take the flesh to make it perfect? Just the thought of it doesn't make sense. Just the very thought of it. If you think about what God has given to you, in the Spirit of God, how in the world could the flesh ever improve? Well, God bless you. You have a good day.